Welcome to episode 403 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus is wrapping up his longest and most famous recorded sermon, the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Before he talks about how one will be known by one's fruits and warns that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, he speaks about two gates. The two gates lead to two paths, which reach two destinations. These are final destinations, and they're both eternal destinations. The narrow gate leads to a narrow path, which ultimately takes a traveler to eternal life in heaven. The wide gate leads to a wide path. The wide path will eventually take travelers to eternal condemnation. Jesus' message is that each individual must make his ultimate choice as to which gate and path he will choose. Jesus explains to his listeners that to see and participate in his coming kingdom, a person must have true inner righteousness and not simply an external adherence to a code of laws. The scribes and Pharisees were teaching a kind of works-based salvation, asserting that obedience to the law was how people could be right in the sight of God. Jesus counters that directly, saying poignantly that unless a person's righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, that person will not enter the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus describes the two gates, he explains that the wide gate, taken by many, leads to destruction, to hell, and the narrow gate, taken by few, leads to life. One gate is wide to accommodate the many who enter therein, those who are seeking after pleasure, seeking self-indulgence, wanting to be a part of the in crowd. The other is narrow, to represent the relatively few who seek life and find it. Jesus exhorts his listeners to enter through the narrow gate rather than attempting to enter through the broad gate. The narrow gate is also called the narrow door. Jesus compares the narrow gate to the broad road which leads to destruction and says that many will be on that road. By contrast, Jesus says that small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What exactly is meant by this? Just how many are the many, and how few are the few? First, we need to understand that Jesus is the door through which all must enter eternal life. There is no other way, because Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to eternal life is restricted to just one avenue, Christ. In this sense, the way is narrow because it is the only way, and relatively few people will go through the narrow gate. Many more will attempt to find an alternative route to God. They'll try to get there through man-made rules and regulations, through false religion, through self-effort. These who are many will follow the broad road that leads to eternal destruction, while the sheep hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him along the narrow way to eternal life. While there will be relatively few who go through the narrow gate compared to the many on the broad road, there will still be a multitude who will follow the Good Shepherd. The Apostle John saw this multitude in his vision in the book of Revelation. Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Entering the narrow gate is not easy. Jesus made this clear when he instructed his followers to strive to do so. The Greek word translated strive is derived from a word from which we get the English word agonize. The implication here is that those who seek to enter the narrow gate must do so by struggle and strain, like a running athlete straining toward the finish line, all muscles taut and giving his all in the effort. The athlete trains long and hard, sweats profusely, and is disciplined. But we must be clear here. No amount of effort saves us. Salvation is by the grace of God through the gift of faith. No one will ever earn heaven by striving for it. But entering the narrow gate is still difficult because of the opposition of human pride or natural love of sin and the opposition of Satan and the world in his control, all of which battle against us in the pursuit of eternity. The exhortation to strive to enter is a command to repent and enter the gate, and not to just stand and look at it, think about it, complain that it's too small or too difficult or unjustly narrow. We're not to ask why others are not entering. We're not to make excuses or delay. We're not to be concerned with the number who will or will not enter. We are to strive forward and enter. Then we are to exhort others to strive to enter before it's too late. Following Jesus requires crucifying our flesh, living by faith, enduring trials with Christ-like patience, and living a lifestyle separate from the world. When faced with a choice between a narrow, bumpy road and a wide, paved highway, most of us choose the easier road. Human nature gravitates toward comfort and pleasure. When faced with the reality of denying themselves to follow Jesus, most people turn away. Jesus never sugarcoated the truth, and the truth is that not many people are willing to pay the price to follow him. God offers salvation to everyone who accepts it, but it is on his terms. We must come the way he has provided. We cannot create our own paths or come to a holy God based on our own efforts. Compared to his righteousness, we are all filthy. God cannot simply excuse or overlook our sin. He's merciful, but he's also just. Justice requires that sin be paid for. At great cost to himself, he paid that price. Without the blood of Jesus covering our sin, we stand guilty before the God we rejected. The way to God was completely closed, and sin was the roadblock. No one deserved a second choice. No one deserved a second chance. We all deserve to stay on the wide road that leads to destruction. But God loved us enough to provide the path to eternal life anyway. However, he also knows that in our self-centered, sin-saturated world, there are not many who will desire him enough to come to him on his terms. Satan has paved the highway to hell with fleshly temptations, worldly attractions, and moral compromises. Most people allow their passions and desires to dictate the course of their lives. They choose temporary earthly pleasure over the self-sacrifice required in following Jesus. The narrow gate is ignored. Most people would rather create their own religions and design their own gods. So it was with sorrow, not discrimination, that Jesus declared that the road to eternal life is narrow and only a few find it. Only Noah and seven other people chose a narrow path. Only Lot and his daughters chose a narrow path. Joshua and Caleb were the only two adults who followed the narrow path all the way from Egypt to Canaan. Throughout history, there have always been those willing to take the narrow path. Jesus is calling you to be one such person. What will you do? Father, thank you for providing a way out, a way that leads to life and eternal joy. Give us the courage and the faith to follow that path, no matter how difficult. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.